Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good evening. We're joined now by Stan McCauley. He's a regular guest here on the show, former candidate for mayor of Hartford and a businessman in Hartford. Stan, welcome back.
Good to be back.
That was going to be my first question for you. How are you doing? Did you get pounded by blackouts and power outages and storm damage?
No, I'm in the fortunate class of people whose power to the house is underground. In fact, our electricity comes off of the electrical feed to Hartford Hospital. So in theory, we will never lose power.
Wow. That's wonderful. Is that just a fluke, or did somebody actually plan that?
I think it's a semi-byproduct of the person who put this house together, as well as the location of our street. I mean, we're two blocks away from Hartford Hospital,
Given you a kind of lofty, comfortable view to watch all the goings on. What's your feeling about the politics, Stan, and the governor's quick pivot to blaming Eversource and blaming Pure and telling Pure they have to do an investigation? How's all that play in your mind?
Yeah, I watched this from the comfort of constant flow of electricity and slowed and impaired, internet access, but nonetheless, it was there. And it occurred to me that there's a lot of righteous indignation, but it seems to be at the wrong place. We always get upset over the things we have very little control over, but we refuse to get upset over the things we have the most control over. And so for like less than the cost of a cell phone, you could actually buy a generator and take control of your own safety in terms of making sure that your meat doesn't spoil or the oxygen that you need to extend your life has the special machine has electricity, but we don't learn any lessons from this. I do remember having to sleep in a shelter when I was living in North Hartford during the ice storm, and we had power out for 3 days. And it was freezing cold. And yet I didn't see fit to go out and get a generator. So, I mean, how much are we to blame for our own peril? I mean, we expect Eversource to be able to predict tornadic activity, how much of those low pressure systems are going to dip down, connect with trees, knock trees down in a state that's majority green and trees. As though Eversource, who I'm not a great fan of, but I don't see how they have the capacity to be able to stop the kind of carnage that tropical storms, hurricanes, ice storms, blizzards bring about. But we always want to be mad at them, and so
yes.
I think we have an unreasonable expectation, and then you have the ire of the government. Our governor's mad. He's mad. He wants things fixed. I want it fixed immediately, he said. And I don't mean just talking about it like I do, but, you know, different, a different kind of action that we don't see from government, and government who has oversight and regulatory authority over the electric company is going to hold who accountable. It's a joke at best.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing. This is Ned talking on Tuesday afternoon as the storm was arriving and the blackouts were beginning.
At this point, we're monitoring it closely. No need to have an emergency declaration either. I think we got things well in hand.
So if Ned had things well in hand while the storm was arriving and starting the blackouts and saw no reason for an emergency just hours before he ended up declaring one, how is it appropriate for him to be turning the blame onto somebody else? I have trouble dealing with this. But at the same time, Stan, I wonder, I assume there's some culpability on somebody's part. I assume there were dumb decisions made. And there are all these rumors about trucks sent elsewhere because we weren't going to get hit that badly, or, you know, all these theories. And I don't know if they're true or not, but by immediately shifting into blame game instead of let's find out what happened, it leads me to believe that Jolly Ned and his band of bandits are maybe responsible for what happened here.
I think they could, you know, partially be responsible, if you will, from not reading the tea leaves correctly. You know, the system that we have seems to be one of mutual aid. So if Rhode Island needs help, we send them help because we don't need those resources. Or if North Carolina needs help. And so since the storm is southern, moving north, we send help because they need help immediately. We don't think the storm is going to be that bad because all of the wizards are smart who prognosticate and make the best guesses based upon the current available data at the time, say that it's not going to be that bad. I mean, the same data source that the governor gets, I would imagine Eversource gets, and his wizards are smart, and the brain trust that walks around with him apparently told him that there was no need for an emergency. And then there was a need for an emergency. And so whose brain trust do we blame? You know, no one wants to take responsibility for their own misjudgment or their own false interpretation. So they try and blame somebody else. But in this case, he can't blame the very entity that he is directly responsible for overseeing.
Yeah, well, that's where it gets a little sticky. We're talking to Stan McCauley. Hold on one sec, Stan. We'll get our weather report in, then we'll finish up with Stan, take a few more phone calls if we can. WTIC talking to Hartford businessman and sometime political figure Stan McCauley. Any other thoughts you want to share with us, Stan?
I would have liked to see the type of leadership that says, look, the buck stops with me. I'm the guy that you guys are going to come after. So whether it's my fault or not, I'm willing to take the blame. Now, here's where we are. We had a natural disaster come through here. We weren't as prepared as we would like to have been. But then how much prepared can you be for, 60, 70-mile-an-hour winds with tornadoes? But I can guarantee you that we're going to put our best effort to getting it done. I'm going to hold myself accountable. I want you to hold me accountable, because if I don't get it done within the next 7 to 10 days, I'm going to ask for you to vote for someone else. And then people would maybe take him seriously, because he's putting his own job on the line rather than asking for everyone else's head for something that is, for all accounts, a natural event. It is unreasonable to have expectations. I see that, to me, is the real danger of the mind game that our government officials and the elected class are playing on. They present themselves as capable and able to fix things that are far beyond their ability to control, and they set up these false expectations that we keep buying into, and they keep putting out, you know, things that are absolute nonsense. There's contradiction after contradiction. There's you know, I use the analogy of cornflakes, you know, trying again for the first time. You can't, but it sounds good. And that's what we have for leadership. And it's very unfortunate, and it's most frustrating.
So I like your little speech that you wrote for Jolly Ned, and I would just take it a step further and say that we need explained to us exactly where the problems are. Because while you're correct that for people like him, they have no ability to offer any leadership in this situation. So what they are doing is providing cover-up so that they don't take the blame. And that makes them into a problem in this situation rather than an assistance, because not only are they unable to act, but they screw up the flow of information so that nobody understands exactly what's going on. What I want to know how this works. I want to know how these decisions are made. There are structural decisions that are made. For example, how many people must be employed to do this kind of work by the utilities in the regulated by the state of Connecticut? That is something that is strictly within the purview of the government. And the government can make those rules. And we can't. You know, the consumer can't make those rules. The government can. So the government should explain what those rules are. How much change has there been to the frontline workers who have to be on standby? And how are they deployed? And were any people sent out of state? There's conflicting information on that. So there's a ton of information I just think that's still missing that Ned owes to the people before he starts pointing without offering any evidence. He doesn't tell us what Eversource did wrong. He just says it's their fault.
Well, I think we need, you know, take the blame. I mean, you ran for the job. You fought to get there. You eliminated all opposition. And so that comes with the territory. It is your fault, whether it's your fault or not. It's your fault. So now that we get the blame out of the way, you can explain to the constituents where we are, what it takes to get fixed, how we can mitigate this if we have this, the workforce that you all think is necessary. This is the cost. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're willing to pay this cost and that cost is going to be directly passed on to you, the consumer, then we'll see about moving forward some legislation to make sure that happens and understand either taxes are going to go up or the rate is going to go up. But ultimately, you're going to pay for it. Or we might be able to bite the bullet ourselves by being prepared in the short term, by making sure that we can go 3 days without a dependency on government or electricity, by having our own food supply for 3 days, by making sure that we are have a generator for 3 days, that we've got 3 days worth of water, that we've got 3 days worth of blanket, maybe some external heat source. I mean, we act as though government is going to come to our rescue, and they just are not going to.
Well, that we can agree on 1,000,000%. Stan McCauley, you've got my vote if you're up against Jolly Ned. No problem there. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right.
Stan McCauley, sometime candidate for mayor of Hartford, businessman in Hartford, and one of those visible figures in the city.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.